So this is lecture five in the biodiversity unit called Plants. And the subtitle is A Kingdom Full of Multicellular Photoautotrophic Eukaryotes. So tonight when you're at dinner, I want you to ask your parents if they can tell you an example of a multicellular photoautotrophic eukaryote. And if they can, I'm going to be very impressed. So you're going to report back tomorrow. And if they can't tell you, then you get to explain to them what it is. And then they'll be very impressed by what you're learning at Los Gatos High School this week, and they'll understand why they're paying very high property taxes, okay? So what are plants? Well, like I said, they're multicellular photoautotrophic eukaryotes, and they have a unique organelle, which is, of course, called the chloroplast. What molecule is found in the chloroplast? You guys remember this? Anyone want to raise their hand? Yeah. Chlorophyll, very good. You've got chlorophyll A, chlorophyll B. That's the molecule that really does the energy conversion, right? They also have a structure outside of the cell membrane. Anybody know what that is? Yeah. Cell wall. Does anyone know what chemical makes up the cell wall in plants? Yes. Cellulose, good. Okay, pop quiz. What makes up the cell wall in prokaryotes? If someone raise their hand, you have to raise your hand. Almost. Can someone try? Peptidoglycan. Can everyone say that? Peptidoglycan. Rolls right off the tongue, right? Okay, good. Okay, good. Interesting thing about plants is they're almost exclusively terrestrial. There are a few plants that live in water, but pretty much they live on land. So some examples of adaptations, roots. Roots are there to absorb water and minerals. Obviously, the leaves are there for photosynthesis and also for obtaining carbon dioxide. And leaves have this waxy cuticle, which helps protect them from desiccation or drying. That's what desiccation is drying. They also have these things called stomata, which are little pores. They're like little mouths underneath the leaves that allow gas to come in and out. So they're able to take in CO2 and O2 can leave through them. And I want to make an important note. Some people get confused about this. Algae, some people think algae are plants. They're not. They are not plants at all. Does anyone know what kingdom algae are found in? What kingdom? Yeah. Protista. Very good. They're found in the kingdom Protista. They are not plants. Okay. They're pretty much almost exclusively aquatic, and like I said, plants are pretty much almost exclusively terrestrial. Okay, so let's talk about the plant life cycle, which is based on the idea of alternation of generations. Now, all plants will exhibit this two-generation lifestyle, and I kind of want to walk you through it. There's two stages. There's what's called the gametophyte stage. Can everyone repeat after me? Gametophyte. Good. And then they go into a sporophyte stage. Can everyone repeat? Sporophyte. Very good. And so what you've got here is the gametophyte stage is the haploid stage. That's where you have half the number of chromosomes. The sporophyte stage is the diploid stage where you have, you know, the full complement of chromosomes. And if you actually look at the life cycle as I've illustrated here, gametes come together in the process of fertilization. And when they do, you're now in the sporophyte stage, and you've got a zygote, which is a single cell, a diploid single cell. You go through mitosis, and then you produce a what's called a multicellular diploid organism, which is the sporophyte. And then that sporophyte will, you know, grow up and become an individual. And then part of the sporophyte will go through meiosis. And the process of meiosis is where you reduce the chromosome number by half and you produce these haploid spores. Those haploid spores will then actually grow up into a little individual called a gametophyte. It's a multicellular individual. And then from that gametophyte, you'll get gametes. And the process goes around and around and around. Now, it turns out that alternation of generations is simply a special case of what we call the haploid-diploid cycle. Any organism that's sexual has to go through this haploid-diploid cycle because they have to reduce the chromosome number by half through meiosis, and then they have to bring those back together through fertilization. So they go through a haploid stage and a diploid stage. You guys all remember that from previous bio class, right? Okay. Now, what's unique about alternation of generations, it has a special meaning. And the special meaning about alternation of generations is that it's reserved for an organism that actually has a multicellular diploid stage and a multicellular haploid stage. You understand that? Okay. We don't have that. We are, you know, animals, we're humans, and we have a multicellular diploid stage, but our haploid stage is single cell. We have sperm and egg. Okay, so we don't go through this process called alternation of generations. In fact, the only thing that really does are plants and some species of algae. That's it. That go through a multi, that both stages are multicellular. And the College Board loves to test on alternation of generations, so I would put circles and arrows and point to this and make sure you study this and learn it. Okay, what's kind of cool is that you're going to ask the question, well, which generation is bigger, the gametophyte or the sporophyte? And the answer is, it depends. Turns out that if you look at moss, you'll be surprised. If you're walking through a redwood forest and it's nice and moist and you see some moss, all green and pretty, that green moss that you see is actually the haploid stage. It's a gametophyte, okay? It has half the number of chromosomes. That's the larger part of the life cycle. And if you're lucky, sometimes you'll see a thing growing out of the green, which is the sporophyte. As you can see in my picture on the right, there's a little capsule and so forth. That's the sporophyte, okay? Now, all the other plants, like ferns and conifers and flowering plants, the sporophyte is actually the larger generation, and the gametophyte is smaller. But we got to be careful. We are humans, and because our diploid stage is the large stage and our haploid stage is the small stage, we all think that, well, the diploid stage must be the larger stage. And it's not necessarily true, as you can see in the case of mosses. Okay, I want to talk just a quick overview about the evolution of plants. The evolution of plants is pretty simple. There's four main things you got to remember, because there's four big branching points. And first of all, the first group of plants to evolve had no vessels. They're non-vascular. So when you think of vessels, think about, like, we have vessels. We have arteries and veins, right? Blood can move through our bodies. And those are vessels. Plants, many, many plants have vessels as well. They're not arteries and veins. They're different. We'll talk about them when we talk about plants later in the year. But the early plants had no vessels, and so they're called non-vascular. Then vessels evolved, and all the plants after that all had vessels. And then seeds evolved. Well, first of all, vessels evolved, but then there were no seeds. They had spores instead. And then you have plants that had vessels, and then seeds evolved. And then there was a group of plants that evolved. They had seeds, but they were naked seeds. They weren't really encased in anything. They had a little protective covering, but not much more. And then later, you have plants with vessels. They also had seeds, and they were in containers, these protective structures, which we'll talk about. And so if you actually look at a diagram of this, as you see on the next slide, you can see a timeline on the left here, and then you can see where all the different groups of plants evolved. And you can actually look down here and see that the origin of plants was somewhere around 500 million years ago. Now, let's put this in perspective real quickly. How old is the Earth? Who wants to raise their hand and tell me how old the Earth is? 4.5 billion years. Now, let's just put this in perspective. If the Earth is 4.5 billion years, plants only emerged about half a billion years ago. So for the first 4 billion years, there were no plants on the planet. Got it? Make sense? And so the first plants that emerged were around a half a billion, maybe a little after a half a billion years ago, and they came out on land. And they actually evolved from green algae. So plants, algae are not plants. I've already told you that. But plants came from algae. So back around a half a billion years ago, some group of algae sort of started evolving into plants. And then you go through these different stages. So let's walk through each of these stages. Okay, before we do that, just a quick overview, of the evolution of alternation of generations. Let me just say this. If you look at this next slide, I just do a quick overview of what's dominant, the gametophyte or the sporophyte. And in the very at the top of this slide, the gametophyte is dominant, and we're referring to the non-vascular plants. And these are called the bryophytes, which include the mosses. And you can see the picture on the right. And if you look at the green represents the gametophyte generation. And then the brown, I guess it's kind of brown, refers to the sporophyte generation. You can see that the gametophyte is actually bigger than the sporophyte. And then when you come to everything else, the sporophyte is dominant. And if you look at my illustration here, you'll see that there's ferns. And something you probably didn't know about ferns, see that little green thing right next to the fern? That's actually the gametophyte part of the generation of ferns. And that is, whenever you're walking through a redwood forest and you come up on a fern, you normally see the big, in this case, the big brown sporophyte, okay? They're green, but they just made it brown here in this picture to distinguish between the two generations. But the sporophyte is here. It's big. But somewhere on the forest floor is this little gametophyte. They're there, but you've never noticed them because they're so insignificant, but they are there, okay? And then for the vascular plants, the seed plants, the gymnosperms and the angiosperms, what you get is this picture on the far right down here, which is a sporophyte, and then the gametophyte just kind of grows inside the sporophyte up at the top there, and that's going to be your gymnosperms and angiosperms. So just kind of showing you the different generations, okay? Now, let's kind of walk through the four stages of plant evolution. Stage one is from water to land, about a half a billion years ago. Like I said, they evolved from green algae, which are charophytes. Can everyone say that for me? Charophytes? Good. And what happens is spores appear, and these spores are surrounded by sporopollenin, which actually protects the plant embryos from sort of the harsh terrestrial conditions. Because they're now out, they're no longer in the water, they're actually out on land. And the first to evolve are right here. You'll see them, the bryophytes, which come off here somewhere, it looks like around, by this time it's around 400 million years ago. But I suppose you could, depends on how you define it, somewhere between 400 and 500 million years ago, it'd be fine if this appears on the test. Okay, the second stage is, 400 million years ago. And these finally have vascular tissue. They have vessels. They don't have seeds, though. They just have spores. And it includes the ferns, the horsetails, the lycophytes. And you can see that on the illustration as well. The next stage, stage three, is they've got vessels. And now they have seeds. And this is around 360 million years ago. And a seed is simply an embryo packaged with some food inside, having a protective covering around it. Now, if you think about it, if you're a plant and you're going to produce an embryo, you got to feed the embryo until it's ready to make its own food. And so that's why the seed always has food in it, as well as the embryo. And it has a protective covering. A seed, you can think, if you want to do sort of, it's analogous to like an egg. We have, birds lay eggs, right? And eggs have a protective covering. They've got the embryo inside, and then they've got food there. So that's kind of what a seed is from a plant's perspective. And we started off with what are called gymnosperms. And the word gymno means naked, and sperm means seed. Now, I don't know if you guys know your Greek roots, but Does anyone know what gymno means naked? So have you heard of gymnasiums? You know, you ever heard of a gymnasium, right? Well, that word came from the Greeks, because the Greeks used to exercise naked. They would run around in the gymnasium naked, and that's how they would exercise. That's why they called it, you know, the naked place to exercise or whatever, gymnasium. So next time you go to a gymnasium, I just want you to kind of think about this. Think about naked people running around, okay? Because that's what the Greeks did, okay? Kind of weird. But gymnosperms are naked seeds. And so what I mean by this is these seeds weren't enclosed in anything. They just sort of would sit right out. They include all the conifers, you know, like redwood trees, fir trees, pine trees, and they don't have any special place that protects them. They just, like, they're in a cone, but that's not considered the protection. And when the cone opens, they're just sitting there all by themselves. They're just a little seed. Now, that's distinguished from the next group, which are the flowering plants. And these flowering plants are called angiosperms. And the word angio means container. And what we refer to there is the seed actually has something around it. And the way to think about this is like when you, and by the way, these plants are pretty much what you see. Whenever you're walking around, you see a plant. If it's not a like a conifer, it's probably an angiosperm. And to get the idea of this container, think about when you go to the produce section of your store, your favorite grocery store, and you look at peaches and pears and apples and grapes and all this stuff. What you're eating oftentimes is this container. It's the ovary in most cases, okay? Not always is it the ovary, but oftentimes it is the ovary. It's a little complicated. We could do a whole lab on fruits and, you know, talk about the different parts, but let's just say in general what you're eating is the ovary, and that's the thing that protects the seeds, right? And so that's where angiosperms get their name, from that protective coating around the seed that's, you know, that you love to eat in many cases, okay? And it's the most, like I said, it's the most common plant on Earth today, and it started its major adaptive radiation after the asteroid hit 65 million years ago and killed off the dinosaurs. Two things started really evolving on Earth: angiosperms and what else? What else started really evolving into all these different niches? Yeah, mammals. So, you know, you say like one organism's demise creates opportunity for other organisms. So the dinosaurs were wiped out 65 million years ago, but mammals and angiosperms benefited, and they've evolved into all these niches that were then opened up. And so that's kind of a cool thing to think about.